last weekend for me personally. Had a chance to go up on Friday to pick up Brother Lunas and had good fellowship just driving back together. And on Friday night, we had our youth workers and deacons come in and had a dinner with Brother Lunas and with Deborah and just got to know them a little bit more. And last night, we had a youth fellowship or a youth activity and had a lot of folks here, had a lot of parents here, and it was a great night. Now, that's relative speaking, because if you're 50 and older, you don't feel great right now. We did, I forget how many games, 10 games in a row, like 10 to 15 minute segments, one game after another, and that all that humidity, and it kind of beat me down a little bit. So, Brother Lunas, if I fall asleep, it's not because I think you're boring. Now, that may be true, I don't know, but I mean, anyways, you see me fall asleep, me or Amy or some of these other folks that were here playing games last night, you'll understand why. But we had a great time last night, great devotion, and I'm looking forward to hear Brother Lunas speak. He is finishing his last semester at West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. He's from the state of Pennsylvania, up in the northeast part of Pennsylvania. We're very glad to have him. Also glad to have Deborah here. The Benefields are missionaries in Cambodia, so Deborah has basically been raised in Cambodia. So if you'd like to hear her speak the native tongue, she knows it fluently. So that might be a treat for you. And she's also a student out at West Coast and finishing up her last year as well. So, Michael, we're glad to have you here. You come and preach for us.
Thank you. Well, good morning, and can you guys hear me okay? I'll turn to the book of Philippians this morning. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. Book of Philippians chapter 4. And like Pastor said, it's been a great weekend so far. I've really enjoyed myself, and it's just been great to get to know some of the youth workers, and they've been such a blessing, and get to know some of the teens last night. Even with all the games, it was a little crazy. And even though I was against Pastor, I did get him out twice in two games, so I kind of felt bad a little bit when I did that, but it's all okay. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Let's pray before we start this morning. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be with this church, Lord. And just fill me with your spirit as I preach from this passage on Philippians, Lord. And we pray that your word would just abound and just speak to hearts today. And Lord, it's not me, it's you. But I pray that you just speak to the hearts of these dear people today. And you will thank you, praise for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many times when we have so much going on, we sometimes seem to focus on that, and we seem to focus on the circumstances that we're going through, and what we focus on our lives, it always is going to take away from Christ. If we focus on our circumstances, what we're going through, what's happening in our lives, and through these past years, the pastor I have now back home, I've had for about 8 years, but obviously 3 or 4 of those I've been in college for. So the first, I've pretty much had him from high school until now. And through high school, he really got me involved right when he started. I remember our old pastor, it was just, never really got involved, never really did much in the church just because his family did everything. So I was like, okay, that didn't really, I just went to church every Sunday and Wednesday because that's what we always did. And I remember when my new pastor came in and we voted him in and stuff. And I remember he comes up to me a little couple months after we voted him in. And him and my junior church teacher, who's now our deacon, comes up to me and they're like, "Hey, would you teach junior church?" And I said, "I have never done that in my life." And I was scared out of my mind. I didn't know what was going to go on. But I ended up doing that all through high school. And I remember one time I walked into church and we had a song leader, but this one day he was out. And I've never led songs before. And I was not expecting this. Before I even could walk in the door, my pastor opens the door and he said, "Mike, you're leading songs today." I said, "Oh, okay, I've never done that before, but yeah, sure, I'll do that for you, Pastor." But I never really found true joy until I was really in the center of God's will and I really got involved in ministry. And it made me really love ministry because I remember just teaching junior church for those 3 or 4 years, and I absolutely loved it. And I never thought I would love teaching kids or anything, but it was so much fun just doing that every week, preparing lessons, and just teaching kids God's word. And it was just the joy I had after I just was being involved in ministry, you know, finding what God's will was for my life, because I never thought I would go to Bible college. I used to be really into football. I used to live and breathe football. I'd sometimes stay up till 2 or 3 a.m. talking with my dad about football. And I always wanted to be an NFL commentator, like Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen, he's on NFL Network. He worked with Hall of Famers every day. I thought that was the coolest job in the world. And I was like, oh, I would love to do that. But near the end of high school, near 11th grade, the Lord kind of directed me towards Bible college. I was like, why am I going to Bible college? I just never knew. And just through talking with my pastor and just going through that, it was amazing to just see how the Lord was working in my heart about the ministry. And I remember just some days before, like once my pastor got me involved, I never really found true joy until I was in the center of God's will. And just these past 4 years being in Bible college, sometimes it was tough to find joy in some things. But that's because I didn't look on the circumstances. Maybe it was when I got a bad grade or when I was stressed in life. For example, these past 3 months, I did this internship called Jewish Outreach. And Deborah did Jewish Outreach also. She was in the D.C. area. I was in New Jersey. And what we did was we went out door knocking 8 hours a day, 5 days a week to the Jewish communities. And some days were tough. And some days I'm just like, I don't want to go out. It is way too hot. Or I am just scared because we went to this one place. There's a place in New Jersey called Lakewood. And it's a very Hasidic community, very Orthodox. And I remember the first day we were there, literally in the first 2 hours, we got kicked out of three communities. We got the cops starting to call on us. And it was just a whole big thing. And these past 3 months have just, sometimes I've just had not found joy or I've been stressed with just preparing for my future. Because my parents have been on me like, what are you going to do after college? I said, I don't know. So that's when I started contacting churches and just working on getting all my classes ready so I could graduate and working on figuring out my future. But it all scared me sometimes, but that took away from my joy. It took away from, because I wasn't focusing on God. I wasn't focusing on letting God take care of it all. I was focusing on myself and saying, look at my circumstances, saying, God, you have a plan for this. And it was taking away from my joy. So this morning we're going to dive into this book of Philippians. We're going to look at three necessities on how we can have joy and keep joy. So we're going to look at the first one. The first necessity is we need to rejoice always. Look in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now that verse is a lot harder to do as humans, isn't it? And so I remember my mom when I was just figuring out all this stuff, and I was just so scared about some things. And I remember one day I was in a car, and we were driving on the field for Jewish, and I was just so scared about my future. I had no idea what was going on, and I was just trembling. I remember one of my teammates just unbuckled the seatbelt, and I like jumped. And my mom said, you got to give it to God. Well, a lot of times that's a lot easier said than done. And because us as humans, we like to say, no, I need to do this by myself. And that took me a lot to just really get out of my way. And the thing is, though, if we look to God to everything, it's going to be a lot easier to rejoice Him for everything and to rejoice in the Lord and praise the Lord for Him, for everything He's done. And sometimes I think, you know, right now there's nothing to be happy about. And everything in my life is going wrong. I have no idea how to be happy right now. But I heard this statement in college one time, and the preacher said, if you can't find something to be joyful about and rejoice about, then you need to look to the cross. And Jesus went through so much. We're going to take a quick look. If you turn quickly to John chapter 19, we're going to just really go through this chapter and really see what God did for us. And because of what He did for us, that we can rejoice. So John chapter 19, this is the beginning of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 1, it says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him. And I heard our vice president was preaching this message one time, and he told us that him and his wife went to Israel, and when they would scourge people in the Roman times. That obviously we know that Paul was scourged by Jewish people because their limit was 39, because he always said 40 save one. But Jesus was scourged by the Romans, and Roman law really didn't have a limit for how many times you got whipped. But our vice president described this, and he said they went down to this room. All there was this beam, and there was these handles, and then there was a drain at the bottom. And he said he went down there, and he said this is the closest one, this closest room to Golgotha, where Jesus was hung on the cross. And but he said when the people would go down there to get scourged, they would hang their hands up, and so their back would stretch as much as it possibly could. And I know if you ever got hit in the back by a sibling, it hurt. And especially if your back was stretched. But just imagine what Jesus went through. It says, Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And every time I read that purple robe, I just think about, you ever have a cut and you put on clothes, and then you take clothes off and that fabric's still in there and it hurts really bad. Just imagine that's what Jesus was going through. It says, Pilate therefore went again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. So Pilate's saying, I don't see anything wrong with him. Why are we doing this to him? But then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, and we have a law, and by our law we ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Then when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again to the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And the chief priests, we know those are the Jewish people. And when I read that, I said, wow, and they pretty much took away God in that moment. And they pretty much said, you know what, God, we're so against Jesus right now that we're taking God out too, and we're saying Caesar's our king. It says, Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and was there in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So we see that Jesus went through so much for you, and he went through all that pain, and even when he was on the cross, when they cast lots for his clothes, and when the Roman soldiers smote him. And I was thinking about, I kept looking at that statement, if you can't find something to be joyful and rejoice about, then you need to look at the cross. And Jesus went through so much for us, and you just have to think, what is there not to rejoice about? Jesus could have said, I'm not doing this. But he said, no, it's my Father's will, I need to do this. And he never complained. He said, you know what, God, Father, you want me to do this? I'm going to do it. We have salvation because of what Jesus went through us. If we have salvation, that's something to rejoice about. That's something to rejoice about. So we saw that the first necessity was to rejoice always. The second one is we need to give everything to God. And we're going to look at back at Philippians chapter 4. It says, in verse 5, it says, Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the entire time that I was going through everything this summer, and I was just stressed out Everybody just kept telling me, give it to God, give it to God. And like I said, the thing was, it's harder to do it than hear it from people. And like I said, us as humans, we like to hold on to things. And I remember some days, the first couple weeks of Jewish were tough, and I was just stressed out to the max. And I remember I would call Deborah, and I'm just like, I'm so stressed out. And she goes, I said, who should I call? I ended up talking to her dad, and her dad helped me out so much. And I remember when I was talking to him, he said, because we were talking about just everything that's going on, and he was like, you just need to, you know, just do this. But I remember he said, Mike, when you're stressed out, you have a lot going on. I know you have a lot going on. He said, but you just need to do this. He said, you need to make sure you have your time with God. He said, this is what I want you to do. So he said, after this call, this was about noon on a Saturday, he said, I want you to go into a room. He said, don't look at your phone. Don't have any devices with you. Don't have a picture of Deborah. Don't have anything with you other than your Bible. And you see, he said, you need to give that next half hour or however much time you need to God. And I was like, okay. Because the two biggest things I was worrying about was my future and what I was going through. Because I was looking at my circumstances. And I was like, why am I stressing out about this? Why is this such a big burden on me? And so when I went to that room, I just cried out to God. I said, God, I don't know why I'm worrying about this or anything. I said, I just need to give it to you. I said, I need something from your word. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what book of the Bible to turn to. I didn't know what chapter, but I turned to the book of Psalms. And when I turned to Psalms, I ended up at chapter 29. And I'm just going to read it to you. So remember, the two biggest things I was worrying about was just my future and what I was going through. And I wasn't really trusting in God at this moment. But when I read this, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And when I read that, I said, God, I said, I don't know how you just did that. I don't know how you just, that was the exact psalm I need, because when I was talking to Brother Benefield, he kept saying, you just need to have this. Once you give it to God and you fully give it to God, you're just going to feel this peace. It's unlike any other. And when I read that, and it said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And I kept reading, and I said, God, you are in control. And the more I was meditating on it, and just meditating on, we serve the creator of this entire universe. He has everything in my future planned already that I don't even know about. And he had everything planned, and I just had to trust in him. And he has such power. And if we put our trust in him, we can have ultimate peace that is unlike any other. Because it says, and the peace of God, in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But in verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God says, you need to give it to me. If you don't give it to me, you're not going to have peace. But whatever you're going through right now, you need to let it go. You need to give everything you have to God. But do you have something you're holding on to? Or is it taking away from your joy? It's like I said, everything I was going through is taking away from my joy. I was like, what is there to rejoice about? Why am I stressed out? And it took my eyes off of God. And once we take our eyes off of God, we just put our eyes on ourselves, and that doesn't lead anywhere. Then we see the first necessity was we have to rejoice always. And the second, to give everything to God. And finally, the last necessity to have joy is to have a right walk with God. There have been times I have been so on fire for God, and I get so ready to do everything I can for God, but I've noticed that, you know, once you miss a day of Bible reading, it's easier to miss another day. Miss a day of prayer, it's easier to miss another day. Miss a day of church, it's It's easier to miss another day. And the less you spend time with God, the easier it is for sin to come in. It's crazy when you don't spend time with God how easy it is for your attitude to change. And it's amazing when people don't have right with God, and then I said it's easier to miss another Sunday. It's easier to miss another day of church. But look in verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." All of these traits that are in verse 8, you know where you can find them? You can find them in this book right here. And this is the ultimate guidebook for life. And everything we have is right here in this book. God has this whole canon of scripture that everything we need is right here. The book still changes lives, and lives still get changed because of this book. And if we don't spend time in this book, it's challenging to have true peace and true joy from God. We during Jewish outreach, we had some prospects. I remember this one man. His name was Ezra. And we went to Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And I wasn't part of this. Wasn't my prospect, but I went with him, with my team leader. This was my team leader's prospect. And he met him on the street and just said, "Hey, we're just out here, you know, handing out material on how you can have friendship with God." Because on to Jewish people, you have to use certain language. And it was something to get used to. We couldn't say heaven. We had to say friendship with God. We couldn't say Christian. We had to say Baptist. Just some different things like that. So it took a little time to get used to. But I remember he was a prospect. So me and my team leader, he said, "Hey, you want to come with me? We're going to go talk to Ezra about salvation." I said, "Sure." So I went with him, and Ezra, we talked to him, we gave him the gospel, and he goes, I've heard of God, but I had never heard of Jesus. And so we had to explain who Jesus was, and we were able to give him the gospel, and we were like, the gospel just provides true peace, and it takes away your sins, it gives you a home in heaven, and we had to explain that to him. And by the end, he goes, "How do I have that?" And we were able to just say, "Just call it to God." And we truly believe he got saved, and we invite him to church. Our church was an hour away from where he lived, but he showed up to church that Sunday, and we were so excited to see that. And we saw him in church, and the pastor said, "Hey, Ezra's in church." And so me and one of my teammates, we went back there to sit with him, so he wasn't alone. And so throughout the coming weeks, we're trying to find a church for him more near his house so he didn't have to drive so long. And we ended up finding a church for him, but some of my teammates had lunch with him. And they were just talking to him and just, you know, "How you doing?" And it was just amazing to hear. He said, "You know what?" He said, "After I made this decision, I told my parents and my friends." And he said, "My parents barely talk to me now. They've kind of disowned him." He said, "My friends have threatened me." And so, but he said, I'm just going to keep going. Because he knows, because the gospel truly, I believe, changed his life. And though when I saw that, and he to have a right walk with God, if we didn't have a right walk with God and we didn't really show him what the Bible said, then I don't think he ever would have got saved. But you know what? God put us in that specific spot for that perfect reason. And we saw great things happen. And that was the only salvation our team saw, but wasn't the only salvation this summer. But you know what? That one salvation made the whole entire summer worth it. And so as I was just thinking about Ezra and just, you know, the things that he went through, that he's going through still, and it doesn't compare to what we go through sometimes. And I remember just there's times in my life I've found tough to find joy. And I remember 2 years ago, my cousin, he's a member at Lancaster. Well, he was a member at Lancaster. But I remember on Christmas Eve in 2018, he found out he had brain cancer. And that was tough because I was close to this cousin once I came to college because I saw him more often. And I remember after 3 months after he got the diagnosis in March, he ended up passing away. And I remember his wife was pregnant with their third child. They had two little boys at home. And she was pregnant with their first girl. And so I remember when I was praying and I was asking God, just pleading with God. And I said, "God, I don't know why you're putting this in our family's life." And it was tough. I remember when he passed away, I was at work, and my aunt called me, and she said, "We just want to let you know that the there was an infection in John's brain and it caused a hernia, and he said it's not going to make it through the night. And so we just wanted to let you know that when Ben comes, his brother comes to the hospital, we're going to say goodbye and let him be with the Lord. And I remember I was at work and I was just bawling my eyes out when I got that call and I had to leave work. But I remember just going through that and being at the hospital with him and his wife sometimes. And I remember just being with them, just me and them two in the hospital room. And I remember they would just, you know, praise the Lord. And in my mind, I'm like, how are you doing that? How could you be going through this and your wife's pregnant, but you just still praise the Lord? It just confused me. But it was such a testimony, and it was such an eye-opening experience in my life of saying, you know what, he's going through some of the toughest things. He's getting chemo. He's in bed all day. He can't even move. And his wife's pregnant, but he's still praising the Lord. He still knows what's important. And I remember his wife came up to me one day, and she said, Mike, I don't think it's God's will for him to die. But he did end up passing away. I remember I always prayed three things when he was going through that. I always prayed first. I said, Lord, if you heal him, I said, it's only going to be you. We're only going to see you in this matter. Because after 5 years, this cancer was only 3% survival rate. So we were like, if you heal him, we're only going to see you. And I think we're just going to praise you. But I also prayed that, Lord, if you take him home, I pray somebody gets saved. That was my prayer. I pray somebody gets saved because of his testimony. And then I also prayed that he'd be able to make it to hold his baby girl when she's born. And obviously he wasn't be able to hold his baby girl, but I remember when he passed away on a Friday, and I went on bus Sunday morning, and it was my turn to preach. And my bus captain goes, you still good to preach? Because he knew that my cousin passed away. I said, yeah, Brother Donnie, I'm good. And I remember I was going to preach on just the complaining of Israel during the Exodus. And while we were on that bus, the Lord kind of changed my heart and said, no, eternity's pretty real right now. I think you need to just give him John's testimony. And so I said, okay. And I remember I gave John's testimony on the bus. And then I didn't get to go on drop-off because we had lunch with the pastor, but I remember going to my bus captain that night at church, and I said, hey, did anybody get saved? And he said, one person got saved. And I said, it's all worth it. And after I heard that, I was just like, you know, praise that, you know, maybe John's death isn't in vain. But I remember we went to the funeral and just hearing some testimonies of John and Jesse. That's their names, John and Jesse. They were witnessing to some of the nurses. And even after he passed away, one of the nurses got saved. And just after hearing that, I couldn't just help but thank God. You know what, God, you did have a reason for this. And because of John and Jesse having a right walk with God, I truly believe that they found true joy, and their true joy was in Jesus Christ. And that's, I really truly believe that's the reason they got saved, those people got saved, was because of their testimony. So we do need to have a right walk with God, and you need to give everything to God, and you need to rejoice always. One of my dorm supervisors in college, he pulled me aside one day, and he always told me that I was a joy to be in the dorm, and I'm a pretty easy guy to get along with, I guess. I like to have a smile on my face. But he told me something I'll never forget. He said, never let anyone take away your joy. And you know who wants to take away your joy the most is the devil. And the devil's going to try everything he possibly can to take that away, to take what God wants for you. He wants to take that away from you. But the thing is, we have to just not let him. We have to rejoice always, even in the bad times. Even when there's a lot of sickness, just rejoice. You know what, God, you have a specific reason for this. We may never know what the reason is for our circumstances till we get to heaven, but God has a reason for it. He put it in our life for a reason. We have to give everything to God, and again, that isn't easy to do because we like to hold on to things. We like to hold and keep. I remember my mom said, when you give it to God, don't be an Indian giver. Don't take it back. And it was just... eye-opening to me. And we also have to have a right walk with God. And so how is your joy? Is it genuine? And do people see it? If Jesus is truly in you, then people should see it. And they should see, you know, there's something different about that person. What is different? I want that. Because people could pick out who's genuine, who's not really easily these days. Really easily. The world knows when something is different. But can your joy make a difference in someone's life today? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Just thank you for this message that you've given to me. And God, I pray it just work in some hearts, Lord, and just help us to have joy and just a joy from you. Lord, help us to have a peace that passes all understanding, because once we have that peace, we can have that joy because we know that you're trusted. We're just trusting in you. Lord, again, thank you for this opportunity you've given me, Lord. Thank you for the message you laid on my heart, Lord. Help me tonight as I preach to the teens again, Lord. And we'll thank you, praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Maybe that was specific for somebody here this morning that's going through some struggle in your life. Maybe there's a need just for you to turn things over to the Lord. Maybe there's a need for you just to get back into His Word and let the Word of God bring comfort to you. And so if God has dealt with you this morning, here's your opportunity to respond. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you spoke about the peace of God. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot have peace with God. In fact, the Bible says without Jesus Christ, you are at enmity with Him. You are the enemy, at hostility with God. There has to be that moment in your life where you recognize your sin. You realize that there's only one who can forgive you, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for you on Calvary, as we heard expressed this morning. And you must turn your life over to Jesus Christ and put your trust alone in Him. No one can do that for you. If you're a young person in this room, mom and dad can't do that for you. If you're a wife, your husband cannot do that for you. Pastor can't do that for you. This is something you have to do. And so if you're here this morning, you say, there's never been that time where I've personally called on Christ, or I've asked Him to be my own Savior, then I want to encourage you to come this morning, and we'll have somebody take the Bible and just step aside privately with you and show you how you can know. And then for most in this room who do know Christ as your Savior, maybe there are some things going on in your life that you just want to come to this altar this morning and say, Lord, I don't have that peace, but I recognize that you want to give me that peace. God, I want to commit myself back to your word. Now, maybe you can do that right where you stand, but sometimes it's better just to come up here and seal it at the altar. So I'm going to have Patty begin to play, and as she begins to play right now, I just want to encourage you. You make your way down. Just be obedient to the Lord this morning, whatever He tells you to do. If He tells you to stay right where you're at, be obedient to Him. But if He's telling you to walk to this altar, as some have already done, then I encourage you to come, join them. People are at the altar. If you want to come and join them, you come right now. I'm glad you referenced the book of Psalms, because that's a book that God has used many times in my life to help me through difficult times. Just going into that, reading it, memorizing it, And it's a source that every single day of my life I go back to and pray over and seek the Lord for not only, you know, personal needs, but for my family and sometimes for other folks. Such a great book. You know, how could we not read it? How could we not love it? How could we not study it? How could we not hide it in our hearts? This book will change your life. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I liked what he said, too, about the times that sometimes we get out of the habit. You know, the pandemic has gotten a lot of us out of habits. Some, maybe it's a good habit to be out of for some things, but so many good things that we've gotten out of the habit of doing. And, you know, that's so easy to do. And I remember one of my brother-in-laws saying one time, he said, you know, when I read my Bible, I find myself right with God. I find myself, because I'm open to the Holy Spirit, for Him to convict me when I'm doing things that are not right. But he said, when I get out of the habit of reading my Bible, I begin to justify those things and allow things back into my life. But as soon as I get back to God's Word, that conviction of the Holy Spirit comes. And I'll tell you this, if you're not reading your Bible faithfully, the Holy Spirit is not dealing with you like He could or like He should, because you're hindering Him. You're hindering the Holy Spirit if you're not in His Word. So this morning, if you're not finding yourself in God's Word faithfully daily, then I want to encourage you to get back to God's Word. It will revolutionize, alter, change your life. It's been really nice to have everybody together. I'm not going to lie to you. I have been anticipating this for a long time. So thank you for being here this morning. And I'm going to have Brother Lunas to go to the back. Now, some of our people shake hands, some do not, and that is totally up to you. If you prefer not to shake hands, then don't, but at least you can say hi or fist bump, whatever you want to do. I want you to do what you feel comfortable with. And look forward this evening at 5 o'clock, or actually this afternoon at 5 o'clock, Brother Lunas will be teaching our teen class. And again, as we did last night, we had a lot of parents come out and encourage the teen parents. If you'd like to come and join in that class, you're more than welcome. Got plenty of seating in there. So we'll be back this evening at 5 o'clock. So let's go ahead and we'll bow for prayer. I'm going to have Tom Marsh come on up to the pulpit. And Tom, you close us in prayer tonight, please.